Welcome to Vegan Nation. We're joined by filmmaker David Jardina to talk about his new featurette, Mystery on the Vegan Express.
Sing a song on the Vegan Express. Be my guest, climb aboard on the Vegan Express. The day's here, have no fear, see what I have to say. Pack your sack, hop the track, cause we're going away. No regret, you can bet, nothing but happiness. We will be cruelty-free on the Vegan Express. Forget cares and let go of your woes and distress. It's all fine down the line on the Vegan Express.
The Vegan Express song is sung by David Jardina. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, justice, freedom, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Thank you very much for tuning in. We're joined for an interview with singer-songwriter, vegan activist, filmmaker David Jardina in New York City. Welcome, David. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, thank you, Marlene. I'm very happy to be back. Always love being on your show.
Well, thank you so much. I am so thrilled with your new featurette, Mystery on the Vegan Express.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm excited, too. Yeah, it was quite a trip, pun intended. It's set on a train in the 1930s, and it took several months to make it. It's not a long film. It's 32 minutes long, but it was quite a process making this. I think probably one of the longest processes I've ever had making a film, even a feature film.
Well, it's a fabulous film, and it was filmed in Connecticut?
Partly in Connecticut, and a lot of it was shot in New York using special effects. It's a very special effects heavy film.
Well, I'm very grateful that I had the opportunity to see the film, that you showed me the preview of the film. It is so great. It is just so great. So I'd like to hear about the film. But first, can you please share with our listeners how they can watch the film coming up on Friday?
Yes, the world premiere of Mystery on the Vegan Express is Friday, December 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it'll be online. It'll be a Jitsi meet, so you can just click on the Jitsi link that will be provided. You can actually contact me, and I can give you that directly, and you click on the link and then click on Join Meeting on Friday the 19th, December 19th at 8 p.m., and you can join in and watch the premiere of the movie.
And how can our listeners contact you?
You can contact me if you're on Facebook, Dave Jardina, and my last name is G-I-A-R-D-I-N-A, and I can give you all the information you need.
Oh, you're very, very talented. So please share with our listeners some of the movie without giving it away, of course, the mystery.
Right. No spoilers, but as I mentioned earlier, the movie is set in the 1930s on a train. So if you're a film buff, you're going to see some familiar faces that you know from watching movies, including Paul Henreid, who's very known for a lot of movies, including Casablanca. In that, he played the hero guy. Well, in this one, he's not the hero. That's all I'm going to say about that. And Basil Rathbone, who played Sherlock Holmes in a lot of movies, is in this, makes an appearance. Margaret Lockwood, who was in a Hitchcock film, is in it. And Cab Calloway, one of my favorite music acts of all time, Cab Calloway and his orchestra, is in the movie. And the Little Rascals appear in the movie. So, yeah, we got a bunch of people that are familiar in it. And I interact with them through the magic of movies. I get to interact with some of these classic golden age personalities.
What else can you tell us about the movie, especially for vegans?
Yes. Well, it's about a vegan who is very excited. He's very enthusiastic about boarding the Vegan Express. How often does that happen? An actual all-vegan express train. and he has his first class ticket and he boards. Well, when he gets on the train very quick, even before he gets on the train, something is just not right. And he finds out very quickly that all is not what it should be. And then things go from there. So I would say the genre is a parody. I'm definitely parodying 1930s kind of romantic mystery movies and thriller movies. At the same time, it has a serious message. And it's kind of, so it's a set in the past, but it's pointed toward the future with a message for all people, all humans, all human people, I should say, right now to consider.
That vegan message is so clear of basically the golden rule.
Right. That's it. As simple as that. As simple or as profound as that. Well, you know, we like to talk about the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you want them to do to you. And at the same time, it's the first rule that goes right out the window. And in this case, it goes out the slaughterhouse window. It's like, well, you know, but I'm human. I'm superior. I'm this, I'm that. Well, but that's not the golden rule. You're not living by that. So it's ironic that people like to say or quote the golden rule, but they don't live by it when it comes to their own treats and comforts and pleasures and conveniences.
Yes, thank you, David. And now before we go on to other topics in this interview, can you share again with our listeners how interested folk can view the film on your world premiere night Friday?
Yes, and I hope everyone can join us. It's going to be in a Jitsi Meet call, and there'll be a link which you can click on. You click on the link on December 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then once you click on the link, you click on Join Meeting. So you can get that link if you contact me on Facebook. That's probably the most direct way to do it. Contact me on Facebook. Again, my name is Dave. My name there on Facebook is Dave Giardina. Last name is Giardina. So yeah, contact me. I'll get you the link and any information about the movie you'd like.
Yes, and thank you again, David, because I enjoyed the film so much. Complete in 32 minutes. That's great.
Yep. Yeah, it's a featurette. So it's a short film, but a longer short film.
And you filmed it this summer, 2025.
Yes, started filming it in the spring, actually late April. I kind of went into pre-production and then quickly went into filming it. And then just kept working it. I've really been working on it nonstop since late April till right now. So it's hot off the editing board.
Again, congratulations and thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I had some great support that people contributed. I did have a fundraising campaign. So a lot of great vegan contributors for that helped me to get that done. And I've had some good people involved, including someone that I work with making music. We record things. Our group is called it's a vocal group, a duo called the Esteemed Onions. And the other Esteemed Onion is Gene Murillo, who's out west. I'm in New York. He's in California. And he contributed some voiceover work for this film, as did a friend of mine on Facebook called Joe Deer. But he goes by Wilhelmsson. He's German originally, from Germany. And his professional name is Wilhelmsson, and he did some voiceovers for the film, as well as someone I went to school with, and I've known her for many years, Nancy Gonzalez, did one of the characters as a famous actress, but we needed some new lines recording, so Nancy did her voice in the film. So a lot of great contributors, very, very pleased and honored that they took part in it.
Great. And with the credits at the end, that was very interesting to see all the names. And again, thank you to your whole team. Yeah. And if it's okay, I recognize three of the names. So you mentioned Joe Deer and also Patty Fields and Nancy Kogel. Those are the two of the names I recognize. So I was like,
absolutely.
Whoa.
Yes. I was so pleased. And so, it was such an honor that they contributed to my fundraiser. So they helped me out with that. Yeah, they're just great people and great vegan activists. Very inspiring to know them.
Yes, thank you. Thank you all. And thank you very much, David. Well, now I'd like to go on to more conversations about veganism, because you are a wealth of knowledge. And let's start with hearing about how long you have been a vegan.
I've been a vegan since 1996. In the mid-90s, somebody questioned me. They said, you're a vegetarian, but you still are eating some fish and you eat eggs and you eat dairy. They said, those aren't vegetables. So I started to try to justify it. Well, I mean, the milk doesn't hurt the animal. Cows give milk anyway, so that's okay. And the same thing with eggs. Chickens lay eggs, and it doesn't hurt the chicken to take the eggs. And fish don't have feelings. And they actually called me out on every single one of those things that I said. And they said, no, you're wrong. Fish do have feelings. They're sentient beings. And cows have to be pregnant to give milk. And they're forcibly impregnated. And then they have to kill, if it's a boy, they have to kill the baby. So then they can take the milk and sell it to humans. And eggs, the egg industry, they grind up those little chicks alive the first day of their life because they don't lay eggs. They're waste products. So, and I said, but oh, I didn't realize any of that. And they said, why aren't you vegan? And I said, what is a vegan? I had never heard that. No one had ever mentioned that word to me. And they explained what a vegan was. And I knew immediately, yes, they're right. They're absolutely right. But I was concerned, of course, how am I going to survive? What am I going to eat? And they said, just go to a health food store and see what's available. Now, up until that time, I'd never been to a health food store, believe it or not. Well, I went to one here in New York City on West 13th Street. And there it was. It was all right there in front of my face. It always had been. And I stopped making excuses. And I finally embraced what was in my heart from the start. And it's the best thing I've ever done for myself, certainly, but the best thing I've ever done for the victims, those who would otherwise be victimized. So yeah, that's my story with going vegan in 1996. Best thing I ever did.
We're listening to David Jardina in New York City. You tune in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with David Jardina. Much thanks for tuning in. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We are continuing our conversation with David Jardina, filmmaker and singer in New York City, and a huge, powerful vegan activist. Thank you, David. Thank you very much. Yeah, it is a very powerful transformation, and I do believe that it is going to transform society. This world really is upside down as it is. Yeah. And I really believe that authentic veganism, when it hits the tipping point, is going to bring this world right side up.
I agree. But that's it. It's the one baby step that will be so profound. It'll affect the earth, and not just for humans, but it'll affect the earth in so many profound ways, just taking that one baby step and going vegan. Of course, there are more things we can do after that, but that one step will be so profound. It will be just unbelievable.
Yes, I agree. And I see it in the reality of frequencies and vibrations. Like you're saying, it's going to impact this entire world in a positive way.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I have to tell you how much, in addition to really enjoying your featurette, Mystery on the Vegan Express, I also really enjoy your song Sympathy that you produced, was it a couple years ago?
Yes, exactly. Oh. I had an album out. Yeah. Yep. That's a great song. And that song is from Tin Pan Alley. It's from, I think, around 1912 or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
One song. Ragtime.
With some spare change so I can get some organic cashew milk over here?
Hard luck. Well, I guess that I have had my share. Fortune smiles, but she just gives me the icy stare. Seen the time, a single dime looked to me like a silver mine. Yesterday, I took a trip to play blackjack. Same hard luck, walked it all the way from Sheepshead back. Lost my dough, and friends I know just said, I told you so. All I got was sympathy, but it ain't a bit of use to me. When I was broke and hungry, my friends all said to me, don't worry. worry, Dave, there's lots of fish down in the brook. All you need is a line and a rod and a hook.
Ha!
Ain't it funny when you look for money, all you get is sympathy. Landlord too treats me just as mean as mean can be. Money down, or just kindly let me have the key. Once I know, rain and snow out in the cold world had to go. Friends of mine, they just shook their heads and answered no. Sorry, Dave, money doesn't grow on trees, you know. Sympathized and criticized, and all of them advised. All I got was sympathy, but it ain't a bit of use to me. When I was broke and hungry, my friends all said to me, don't worry, Dave, there's lots of fish down in the brook. All you need is a line and a rod and a hook. But that's not even vegan for career. Ain't it funny when you look for money, all you get is sympathy.
Go vegan.
Yes, and I want to say also that I find it fascinating that you have this deep connection with the 1930s.
Yeah, it's curious. And I do admit it as a curious thing because, yes, absolutely, I do genuinely love that music. When people ask me, what kind of music do you like? I say, well, I like the music of the 20s and 30s because there were so many great songs written at that time. That was just a wealth of these great songs, great tunes, melodies, lyrics. And so to me, it's just obvious. But a lot of people don't necessarily feel the same way. And I'm wondering, why do I have this connection? I wasn't raised on it. You know, my parents are rock and rollers, and my grandparents were more into classical music, I would say. So the fact that even as a very little kid, I would hear on TV, I'd hear some of this music from the 20s and 30s, and immediately I said, that's really hip. I generally thought this was cool music. I didn't have a sense of nostalgia for it. I just thought it sounded great, really exciting, hot music. So I still feel the same way about it. Yeah, must be a reincarnation. I don't know what you call it, but definitely a connection.
Yes, and you also have gigs throughout New York City still?
And around the country, yes. Okay. I do different shows around the city. I'm working in one now with a girl singer that I performed with before. Her name is Diana Navarro, and we're looking to find the right venue. And for me, it has to be a vegan venue. I don't want to be performing anymore at bar, restaurant, clubs that are all about, you know, animal cruelty, carnage, selling carnage and everything. So we're looking for the right venue to have our show at. And otherwise, I have a show that I do with a pianist named Paul Bisaccia. We've taken that around the country for several years, different places, different states. So, yeah.
You're great. You're so great. Thank you. And another thing that I really appreciate about you is your power and your commitment to authentic veganism, that you are not in any way bamboozled or hoodwinked into the current, I would say, especially since the last 5 years, the infiltration and co-option of the vegan movement. And as we know, as activists, that all social justice movements are infiltrated and co-opted. That's part of the unfortunate game that is implemented, and yet you are not fooled by that.
No, thankfully I'm not. And I know a lot of people are. I would say just like 98% of people are not vegan, well, 98% of people seem to be bamboozled. That's a good word you used. They're totally taken in by what they see in the media, what social media is telling them to accept, what their neighbors are telling them to accept, what work. Oh, you need a vaccine? Well, then they run out and get a vaccine. Otherwise, you can't work. So they want to believe it because they're afraid not to. They're afraid to go against the norm or what the system is telling them because they think that they're going to be cast out, ostracized. They're going to be cut off. And people, humans, are social animals. We are animals and we're social animals. So it's a frightening idea, the thought of not being accepted and not being part of our tribe. Our community is almost unthinkable. So I can understand why people are desperate to go along, to get along, but it does more harm than good. I think at least question the, whenever you have an official story, at least question it. Say, well, is this right? Is this right for me? Is it right for anybody? Why are they insisting this? Most people just are used to not questioning, and they go along to get along, as it were. It's a fascist way of thinking. It's a fascist way of operating. We live in a totalitarian society where people are under the thumb of those making the rules and kind of manipulating us. I'm not talking from a place of conspiracy theorists. This is history. It's repeated over and over and over. All you got to do is look back in the past 5 years, let alone going back decades and centuries. You see the same pattern. So all I say is question it, stop the pattern, stop doing this, and then we can then have manifest the society that we all say we want and deserve to be, to feel safe, to feel secure, to feel, be fulfilled, healthy, and, you know, autonomous.
Yeah. Yes, yes, autonomous and sovereignty.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's have a little musical interlude. This is The Esteemed Onions.
They're watching every move. They say we're gonna die. They'll take away our privileges. They force us to comply.
They're in our smartphone. They're on our TV.
They're in the chemtrails. They're in our herbal tea.
They'll bribe us with a lie.
Invade us with AI.
They want complete control.
They want our very soul.
But don't you all forget we're always free.
This is The Esteemed Onions. David Jardina and Gino Marolo. We're free.
I'm free, you're free, he's free, she's free, we're free, they're free.
Masses are not allowed to see what's going on in the slaughterhouses or in agriculture in general, even what you mentioned about dairy and eggs. And the same thing with the laboratories. We're told you have to consume the carnistic products via injection or ingestion, yet we, the taxpayers funding all this, are not allowed to see all the unfortunate victims in the science and the medical laboratories, in the, right. The trillions, when you look at the whole picture. It's insane.
Don't let them trick us.
Don't let them stick us.
Don't let them buy us.
Don't let them bone dry us.
Right. No, it's beyond belief, beyond words. And, you know, it's insidious because we are taught, we're indoctrinated from the time we're born to believe certain things. And there are two things. One is we need these products in order to survive, to be healthy, safe, and functional. We need to take medicines made from the suffering and unspeakable torture of animals. Vaccines are not vegan. They're made from products and substances that come from animals. The testing of these things is done on animals. So we have this belief that we need these products.
They can exist if we all resist, 'cause we're the power. So grow that flower, 'cause we're free, free, free.
And the other belief even more profound that we're taught is that we are entitled because we are superior. So people will admit, oh, yes, it's not very nice. And oh, I would never want to see where it comes from. Oh, don't show me that. It's disgusting. It's awful. But, you know, you got to live, they'll say. And we're human. Humans come first. So we go round and round and round. I think once people are backed in a corner with, why are you doing this? Why are you supporting this? Why don't you stop doing that? They will say things like, I'm humans, humans are superior, and we need these things because that's what science says. So it's a hard sell when people are so deeply indoctrinated to believe those two points. I mean, they believe other things too that they're taught, but those are two very powerful ones.
There's such a resistance to veganism still worldwide.
Right. Yeah, and it comes down to careful and systematic indoctrination. It was always a problem, and they were always using what they had, the technology they had, to make sure people were complying and being manipulated very easily. Well, it's gotten so much easier that to the point where the idea of even questioning what we're being told is it's considered an offense. Whereas before, you had enough people, they were questioning. I remember growing up in decades ago, and yes, you had the system still doing these terrible things, but there were enough people, there was a counterculture of people kind of rising up, questioning, and trying to push back. But today, you don't get that so much. Yes, we do have a counterculture, thankfully, but we have this, you know, the technology is being used, weaponized against everybody, including those who are speaking up. So it's more of a challenge than ever. And that comes from being conditioned through and indoctrinated through our school system, through every way possible. They will indoctrinate each generation to accept and believe without question, to go along and you know, and not make waves, just do it. If we were to do two things, if we were to stop buying, eating, wearing, using anything from an animal, and if we were to stop giving so much money to the military, can you imagine this place we call Earth, this our home? Can you imagine the change that would be taking place? The changes would be heaven on earth.
Thank you very much, David, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be here, Marlene. Thanks for having me on again.
Friday, December 19th, 2025, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The world premiere, Mystery on the Vegan Express.
Come along, sing a song on the Vegan Express. Be my guest, climb aboard on the Vegan Express. The day's here, have no fear, see what I have to say. Pack your sack, hop the track, 'cause we're going away. No regret, you can bet, nothing but happiness. We will be cruelty-free on the Vegan Express. Forget cares and let go of your woes and distress. It's all fine down the line on the Vegan Express.
Thanks to all listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'm very grateful for David Jardiner and all the vegan activists worldwide. And thanks also to Will Tuttle for his music. We heard the Turkey Song. And let's go out with this song. Genie with the Light Brown Hair, sung by David Jardina. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a lovely, peaceful, joyous day.
Dream.